So, what I wanted to talk about today, I found an article, and it was an investigation into how people on social media react to various articles that come along. The article itself had a stupid headline about things found from outer space or something like that. And it was an article to show how people will react to a headline, pass their opinion, pass their comments, and be utterly ill-informed without clicking on the article. So the article was all about extraterrestrial technology or something. And when you clicked on the article, it came to, this is a study all about, you've clicked on the article. Go back and see how many people have commented without even reading the article. I've noticed this. I put out a video about some aspect of either horse riding or our mental approach to horse riding. And probably I'm guilty of asking leading questions. For example, one I put out quite often is, can horses smell fear? And I then go on to describe various ways as maybe they do, maybe they don't. Does it matter? It depends on the horse. All these things. And it's very good video. And people respond. And from the responses, I can tell whether someone's read the article or not. Someone's gone to the trouble of sharing the article to say, look, here's a fella proving that horses smell fear, when that wasn't the lead of the article at all. And that's just one example. There's loads of examples. The reason why I brought this up is because it has a direct correlation. 59% of Twitter shares are made without the thing being clicked. So you get the title and boom, there you go. And isn't this just like, as we go around our horsey lives, people are chucking headlines at us with such authority because they read the article. Except they didn't read the article. They clicked the headline. The example I'm trying clumsily coming around to, at one of our rider confidence courses, we always have discussions afterwards. And if you've been on a rider confidence course, you know that I describe in great detail the battle scenes that we do, which are quite a challenge to horse and rider. But we do them over and over again, and they're perfectly fine, even though there's all smoke and fire and everything else. And my point is that you would assume that was a highly dangerous situation, but no one's ever been killed doing that. And there we are. You're going into battle, effectively. The horse doesn't know any different, and no one's been killed, and they've been making these films since 1920. But if you were to find yourself in that situation, you'd automatically assume you were going to die. Anyway, that's a very condensed version. There we are. And then somebody at the back popped up and said, they said that for that fellow who died in Ben-Hur. And she said it with such conviction, I was like, did they? Are you talking about the new Ben-Hur or the Ben-Hur in 1960s? She goes, no, Ben-Hur in 1960s, somebody died during that. Right, I'm going to wait for 15 seconds. If anybody else has heard that this actor died doing the chariot scene in Ben-Hur in 1960, and it goes on, the myth goes on to say, I'm giving the clue away there, that the myth goes on to say that you can actually see the actor's death in the film, The Chariot Race. There we are, stuntman's death. Anyway, I'll carry on. I was thrown. I was thrown. The whole group kind of looked at me as if to go, what do you think about that then, Mr. Man? No one's ever died. And I had to do some fast talking because I didn't know. So anyway, after the course, I went and researched it quite a lot of places. And somebody did die during the making of Ben-Hur. After all that, there's me saying, oh, super safe. Somebody did die. It was the photography director. And he died of a heart attack during the making of the film. That little fact got twisted into, you can see the death of a stuntman doing this race. As it happens, that race was done all with dummies, so it was utterly impossible. It's not true. The person who died was the director of photography who had a heart attack. He got twisted into this myth. But my point is, it was said with such conviction that it threw me. I've had other things said. Someone said 50% of jockeys are killed. Blatantly rubbish, but the admiration for the conviction with which she said this, and to be fair, it left me absolutely dumbfounded, and I thought, what a stupid thing to be saying. There we are. But she was a paid client. I couldn't openly say what a stupid thing to be saying, so I left there with my mouth opening and shutting like a goldfish. But anyway, I digress. So this article backs up what I've noticed with my own videos and with the rider confidence clients that come in. People will so happily grab hold of an article that they've seen, meaning I saw the opening page and I never actually read it, which will back up something. They'll share it, they'll comment on it, they'll get the wrong end of the stick, and they'll do that in real life as well. If you surround yourself enough with these kind of things, we find ourselves in a pickle and believing those things. I've said before in my videos, if you focus on what you want to find, you're going to find it. If I look around now, you know, have a look around. Ooh, I'm looking around. I'm going to find everything that's blue here. There we are. I've got maybe six things that are blue: the cushion, the trampoline cover, the blue circle around the target, the blue flag in the corner, and there was something blue over there, I can't remember what. Now, name everything I saw that was red. Well, I can't, because I was looking for blue. And that's the way it works. If you're going to focus on every article and headline of misinformed person that says something to you which is complete nonsense, if you're going to focus on that because you fundamentally believe that horses are dangerous, that's where you're going to find yourself. And it's happening all over. And that inspired me to come and repeat this on the Life at Five, that article. I might even do one on my own and put out a more horse-related one just to see people not read the article. Well, that's quite a good idea. I think I will. That's a hi, Melv. Hi. You're still confusing me by calling yourself Alfie Baker. It absolutely froze me. Alfie's the name of the horse, apparently. Penny, Sarah, Pauline, Teresa. Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. Look, we need to get a conversation going. So everybody, get writing in the comments. There's 13 people watching now live. There's going to be more people watching. Let's get these comments going. I'm going to do more Live at Fives. I'm going to get that really going so that we can get this conversation going. I got a bit busy and I'm still going to get a bit busy, but there you go. There we are. Is it because, says Teresa, people are lazy? Teresa, you actually commented on this article. You said, I like your style. And I couldn't tell from there whether you'd read the article or whether you hadn't. Just let me know. Sad that some people are so gullible. Curiously, I've been learning Russian. There's no word for gullible in Russian. There you go. There we are. Because they believe their friends or can't be bothered to check. I believe, quite fundamentally, that it's the looking around the garden finding things that are blue. So if you're with somebody else looking around the garden finding things that are blue, if you're somebody else looking around the world finding proof that horses are dangerous, then they're going to say these ridiculous things. So, and the thing is, we must be able to differentiate between the ridiculous and the sensible. So we mustn't make things seem worse than they are, but equally we mustn't make things seem more less worse than they are. That's just as bad. That's still burying your head in the sand. If you're going to go riding out on the road without a hat because the universe is looking after you, Well, you're then making things the other way. You're making things seem not as bad as they really are. So, payments are hard. Put a hat on. There we go. But do you see what I mean? We mustn't make things worse than they are. We mustn't make them less worse than they are. There's when you put on a seatbelt on a car, you don't load it full of emotion. Like, oh, this seatbelt was made by Mark Todd. Oh, I wouldn't go anywhere without this seatbelt. You just put your seatbelt on. You've thought about it. You've put a plan in place and you just do it and you needn't think about it anymore. That's the key. You needn't think about it anymore. If you are going out in hard places, like we don't always wear hats when we're riding in our arenas, riding in our shows, and there we are. But we don't come out of the arena and go into our yard, which is three concrete walls and a concrete floor. We get off the horse and lead them, because it's not when you're trick riding or jousting or anything else where the accidents happen. The accidents happen when you're in corners and you're not prepared and you're sauntering along, getting your phone, and there you are. So I know that people are like that. So we've got a policy. I thought about it. And our policy is, once you've finished your ride, get off your horse and lead it to the concrete yard, because I know that's where accidents are more likely to happen than anywhere else, and it's all made of hard stuff. It's such a simple policy and it has no emotional content. If I then wanted to drive onto that and go, oh yes, well now I'm going to find all these examples of people who've come a cropper on yards and hard things, and I could get lost down that, and then I'm guilty of making things worse than they are. What we need to do is be aware around us that these things happen, that these people can influence you looking for the blue things. I look around the world and look for evidence that horses are dangerous. I may be accused on, I will hold my hands up, that I may come across as always being the grass is always greener and there's nothing to worry about, and possibly going on the other side. I could be accused of that. I would defend myself. I'd then take you around all the courses and everything else that we do and show you the safety things that I've got in place. I've done my thinking, this is in place. I've done my thinking, this is in place. Intellectual assessment of the risks, put the thing in place, and then you're free to ignore all the blue things. If that makes sense. If anyone's tuned in later, they'll go, what blue things? Ignore all the exaggerations of every little problem that might be around. There we are. I've got a lot of comments coming, and I...